Good afternoon, fellow patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, live from the staging area for Freedom and Liberty, Spokane Valley, Washington, in the heart of God's country, in the American Readout, and in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. And this is the year we wake up and take our freedom back, because our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. And we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. And as James 4:17 admonishes us, and actually Ted Cruz as well recently, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. And now from the front, your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. Well, like we predicted, and like I predicted on this show a couple of weeks ago, you cut loose all those billions of dollars for the Iranians, and they're not going to go spend that on the people. They're going to go spend that on building up their military arsenal, because that money has been locked up. Well, first, the Iranians said, oh, no, we're not going to do that. Then they buy refueling planes with the money. And now, on Debka file yesterday, Iran orders 150 fighter jets from China. These are J-10 fighter jets with some Israeli technology incorporated on them. So these are state-of-the-art fighter jets. And right on the heels of them purchasing refueling planes. Why would you need to do that unless you want to project force and go on the offense? Folks, this means that Iran will be able to reach out and touch people across the entire Middle East. And, you know, it's not even enough to say I told you so, but everybody can see where this is going. It's like a war is intentionally being set up with Iran. Watch what happens. This deal will be violated, and somebody will use it as an excuse to go to war with Iran in the White House. Just watch. Could be Obama, could be the following president. You know, I don't know. But this is going to be used as an excuse to start a war. And sure enough, this deal is allowing it to happen. On the national front, well, also as predicted on the show a couple of years ago, we talked about the fact that Social Security was insolvent and that there was a problem with Social Security. Well, today on the Drudge Report, it is admitted that cuts are coming to your Social Security checks very soon. One person quipped, if I like my Social Security, I can keep 77% of it. It's exactly what's going on. And what you are going to see happen over the next few years is what I would term benefit rationing. That was actually a word used in this National Review article. Benefit rationing, because they literally can't afford it. We're $18 trillion in debt. We have $60 trillion. And by the way, that is a low figure. Some people say as high as $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities. There's no way we can do that. They're going to have to cut back. They're going to have to make the hard decisions. And if you are from my generation, the generation that is between the ages of 35 and 45, I don't know if we can really expect anything in the future, even though we've paid into it. And honestly, that's not the right answer anyway. The right answer is to allow people to keep their money tax-free, to not be charged income tax on the fruits of their labor, to keep that money and actually be able to invest it themselves, spend it on their grandchildren, whatever they feel like they need to. But right now, we're not going to have a choice. What is going to happen, and what you'll see happen, and what they are acknowledging is happening, is an impending collapse of this tax and spend government that has been going on for a very long time. Also on the national front, in Texas. Now, some folks in Spokane think that it's okay that Spokane is becoming a sanctuary city. Sanctuary of what? Sanctuary against the rule of law. Well, in Texas, the crime statistics are overwhelming. 611,234 crimes and 2,993 murders, so 3,000 murders in Texas by illegals alone. Folks, we all support legal immigration. People who wait in line, sometimes for years, undergo all the medical screenings, answer all the questions, go through all the background checks and the vetting and everything else coming into this country. It's what we're built on. But what we cannot accept and we cannot stand and we cannot allow to happen in the future, is for people to come across the border illegally and for that to be countenanced in our halls of government. You know, it's ironic that the Democrats really decried when I first came out talking about the 10th Amendment and talking about pushing back against the federal government and using the 10th Amendment to do that. And they decried it and said, no, that's not legal. You're violating the law, even though we conclusively showed them where in the Constitution it says that, and we conclusively showed them where it's legal to do that. But they were all about rule of law then. They were all about rule of law when it came to not stepping up and confronting the federal government. And now suddenly, rule of law is out the window. Kind of hypocritical, don't you think? Also on the national front, President Obama plans amnesty for 9.6 million more. Why is this happening before 2016? Could it be that the Democrats don't have enough votes and they're trying to import their votes into the United States? It's one of the most destructive things I've seen in my lifetime. One of the most un-American things. One of the most unconstitutional things I've seen in my lifetime. And folks, it's going to take all of us at the grassroots level to stop this from happening. All of us. Also on the national front, and alarmingly, President Obama in an interview says, quote, I could win a third term. I hope, boy, folks, I really hope he is not seriously trying to plan on doing a third term and completely throw us into a full-blown constitutional crisis. I mean, we're already in a constitutional crisis. This would be a massive exacerbation of it. Can't even believe he said it. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised. Also on the national front, Planned Parenthood maximizing profits on body parts. And now there's another video out today again. And by the way, a judge has blocked the group's ability to put out any more videos. That's weird. I thought the First Amendment said we could do that. And by the way, these videos are accurate and truthful. So there's no slander there, unlike a lot of the mainstream media. And this is where we're at, folks. It's the thought police. People trying to stifle what you think, try to stifle your conscience, try to stifle everything that you want to be able to express because they know that they can't beat an idea. They know that the right to life is the truth. They know that what they are doing is ghoulish, specifically killing babies in a way to save their body parts for sale and to maximize the profits. Folks, that is no different than what Dr. Mengele did in Germany. No different at all. There is, and I challenge anybody out there listening to the radio show today, to show me that that's different. Now, some people try to excuse all of this and say, well, it's not as bad as you say. This is contrived and overblown, folks. If it was one baby that was being dismembered for profit, that's wrong, and none of us should countenance it. This moral equivocation, this moral relativism has got to end, because if we get the life issue wrong, we get every single other issue wrong. And that's why we led the charge with the Freedom Agenda to defund Planned Parenthood for the last several years before it ever made national news. Now we need to use this exposition of truth to make defunding Planned Parenthood a reality. But we can't stop there. All the other government programs that are unconstitutional, we need to defund those as well. It shouldn't just stop with Planned Parenthood. All these other programs that are unconstitutional, we need to defund as well. We need to shrink the size of government, get it back on its priorities, like national defense. Pretty simple. But it doesn't stop with Planned Parenthood. Once we secure the right to life, we have the right to liberty and property as well. We need to secure those. And we're going to be talking about liberty and property later on in the show today. On the regional front, well, we did send a letter to the governor regarding Planned Parenthood and asking also the attorney general for an investigation into what's going on there. We've been fighting this again for years. Planned Parenthood in other states has been indicted, has been shown to have perpetrated fraud. We need to investigate this organization, and especially with all the videos. And these aren't the first set of videos. There are videos earlier this year where Planned Parenthood was intentionally covering for sex trafficking. And you can actually Google that, and there's a set of videos on that as well. So we need to investigate this organization and bring abortion itself to a very quick end. Also, on the regional front, we sent a letter to the governor regarding the recruiting centers across this state where we have National Guardsmen and National Guardswomen who are not armed at these recruiting centers. And unlike governors throughout this country who have armed National Guardsmen, our governor is refusing to do it. We need to call him on the carpet for it. And oh, by the way, he was apologetic on the Planned Parenthood thing too, because I believe his wife is on the board of one of those abortion organizations. And everybody needs to know that. But as far as the recruiting centers are going out there, we did have some patriots show up at these recruiting centers. The response from the recruiters was universally positive. Some of the law enforcement were very positive towards these folks. And I want to thank Liberty for All and Liberty Watch Washington for sending folks down to do that and to let those recruiters know that we have their back, even if the federal government doesn't. And one of the great responses that came out of there, a young lady said, you know, I thank you, but my parents thank you as well. And the gentleman responded, well, remember who had your back when nobody else did. And if the government ever asks you to turn your guns on your fellow citizens, just remember that. And she said, absolutely, for the rest of my life. I paraphrase that last part, but you get the idea. We've got a lot of great American patriots out there who are realizing what the problem really is, and that is an out-of-control federal government. And by the way, they received a gag order, and despite the gag order, these recruiters were still talking to the patriots around the state. And thank you to every single recruiter out there for your service, and we got your back. On the local front, there's been a push to legalize the use of unmarked police cars. Very interesting scenario. The original law and the original legislative history that we dug up from the archives very specifically says that unmarked police cars, with the exception of a specific task force in the state patrol, can be used only for confidential investigations and surveillance. There's no question about that. Nobody argues that's what the legislative history says. In fact, they can't. The original draft of the bill allowed counties to determine when unmarked cars could be used beyond those two exceptions. However, that language was actually struck from the bill, from the original bill. So the intent was never to allow counties to authorize beyond those two exceptions. And it's interesting that Spokane County now has, because they can't. And one of the important points of this is that if it was legal already under state law, why would the county have to pass an ordinance? So you've got some very contradictory legal counsel being given to our county commissioners. And on top of that, our sheriff here locally says, well, don't worry about unmarked cars. You can tell they're a police car. They've got a Mohawk antenna on top. They got a push bumper in the front. Perfect. So here's my response to that. Then why not mark them fully? Why have them unmarked? If we can already tell they're police cars, why not make sure they're marked all the way? So there's no question. This issue is going to be around with us for a while, but I think we all agree that if the law says it, we need to follow it. We need to follow it unless it goes against God's commands, like the Supreme Court ruling on same-sex marriage. And we are going to see, I predict, civil disobedience around this country as we see tyranny continue to grow. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Please pray for us. And thank you to everybody that's been praying for me and Victoria and the whole show. And go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US. Like the page, share it with your friends and family. And remember, this is a listener-supported show, actually. And it's run by the committee to elect Matt Shea, Republican. And if you get a chance, you want to continue to hear Patriot Radio on the air, please send in a donation. And we're going to have that page set up. Very simple. VoteShea.com. VoteShea.com. And if you like Patriot Radio, that's where you can go to donate. Now, we were under a freeze during the session, so I couldn't accept donations then, but now we can. And as part of the campaign, you can give. So please take a look at it. VoteShea.com. Well, today, my guest, a great American patriot, somebody that's done a lot of work around this country to educate Americans on how they can restore the republic, how they can get back involved and hold elected officials accountable. And it's kind of funny because he's kind of the bane of some elected officials, I think. Marker, Center of Self-Governance, thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Really appreciate having you on.
Thanks, Matt. I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
So so you are the bane, I think, of some politicians, but I guess Ted Cruz has kind of taken your place now with his speech earlier this week. What do you think about what Ted Cruz actually said?
Oh, my gosh. I think it's really kind of refreshing to hear people who are inside government and been charged with exercise of control of our power just speaking like an average person and telling it like it is and kind of almost sounding like a representative of the people. Yeah. It was kind of ironic that shortly thereafter they had a kind of an urgent session for another reason but was used to excoriate Senator Cruz. It was kind of ironic, too, Matt, that he was speaking the truth, but he was being reprimanded for speaking the truth. Isn't that just kind of sum up the condition of the world today?
It sums up not only Washington, D.C., but it sums up Olympia as well, no question about it.
Yeah,
my goodness.
It sounds like you guys had quite a joyride in your Six Flags experience with your governor there in Washington for, what, three sessions, was it?
Yeah, three sessions, longest session and special sessions in the history of the state of Washington. And one of the big issues, we had a big brouhaha behind closed doors among Republicans, was over defunding Planned Parenthood. We had a bunch of folks that didn't want to go on the record and do a recorded vote on the amendment to defund Planned Parenthood. I mean, we had a very long discussion in caucus. And the people that didn't want to do it on recorded vote were afraid that they would not get reelected if they did it. And again, that's the problem you hear all over the country, not just with the Planned Parenthood issue, but with a lot of issues. Oh, I won't get reelected, so they don't do the right thing. And I know you've heard that as well. What's your take on the whole Planned Parenthood situation and the distraction, intentional distraction away from it of Cecil the Lion and this ridiculousness with that as well?
Well, isn't it quite funny that they, you know, the media and other entities that deal in the narrative would target folks who are against abortion or these types of ideological, you know, partisanship lines, but in dealing with their own hypocrisy, would flee from a hearings in the state of Texas, would then hide behind Cecil the Lion from Zimbabwe and death threats being made against the dentist, and even there's a new hashtag called Cat Lives Matter. But, you know, where's the press coverage on the hashtag, hands up, don't crush?
Yeah, exactly. You think a human life matters more than a lion. And I know that's probably going to get me in a lot of hot water, but you know what? Human lives do matter more than a lion's life. And the fact that this has been going on for years, and we have, what, over 50 million babies aborted in the United States since Roe v. Wade? My goodness gracious. I mean, this is a national shame, in my opinion, something we have to tackle at the grassroots level. And we've been successful when we do stand up at the grassroots level, haven't we?
Well, you know, it's pretty fairly fantastic what an average person can do once they know the system and they're taught how to control the reins of government as the architects of our government designed it. One issue that, you know, people should check into in their states is the state laws that define the word person in terms of what is a human being versus what is a person. And people will be shocked to find out that their you know, logical definition, kind of like logic that crushing human babies and then selling their body scraps, if you will, as portrayed in the videos, would seem so absurd. But once they find out how their government actually defines a person, they might actually see kind of the man behind the curtain.
Well, you know, I don't think a lot of people really understand the machinations that happen behind closed doors. They don't understand the discussions. They don't understand how leadership can kill things. They don't understand, like here in Washington, a committee chair can literally kill a bill and not allow it to come up for a hearing. I just don't think people understand that stuff.
Well, you know, the machinery of government is kind of like inside the front hood of a car. As long as the car is working, everybody's happy, right? But ultimately, the architects of our system of government expected the average person to maintain the system from where they live. And you're so right, Matt. The average person does not know how the process works. And one thing you're bringing up is quite interesting, that when a law just doesn't happen, but there's a lot of movement behind the scenes to make that law happen. You know that. The average person doesn't. And what kind of influence they can have on that process, if they would learn that system, they don't have to be Matt Shea, because that's your job. Your job is you've been chosen to represent people inside the system. The people in your district, their job is to maintain maintain the engine, if you will, from the outside of it. So there's a lot to learn, but it's actually not that complicated, right? Once you learn the system,
it really isn't. And you know, it's the key is also timing. It's weighing in at the specific points in the system, so a bill is introduced, and weighing in to make sure there's co-sponsors. There's all those kind of different things. And if you want to, I mean, walk through some of your ideas for how people, you know, and when people should weigh in and what's most effective.
Well, I'll give you guys a case, an example. In the state of Arizona, the governor there was introducing through the legislature, which, you know, in most states, the governor has the ability to kind of submit their agenda to the legislature. Of course, the legislature has the final say. But in the state of Arizona, this governor introduced this bill to basically eliminate 1/7 of the executive branch out of the Arizona Constitution. Okay, so what does that mean to everybody? Basically, like in Washington, you guys have more than just the governor of the state. You have other executives or constitutional officers, and it's kind of like the governor going to the legislature saying, "Hey, I don't like that office, you know, next door to me. Let's get rid of it." Well, that office is authorized by the people of the state of Washington, and it's just like that in Arizona. And the folks with our organization were trained in how to spot these things. And it was during the legislative cycle, so I would assume it's similar to Washington's, so kind of January through May time frame. And they do it every year. And what they did was they discovered the governor's attempt to do this, and then they began to orchestrate their strategy. They got with folks who were like, "Hey, you know, the governor's not supposed to do these kind of things, bypassing the people, you know, in one of their positions." Anyway, they started finding out intelligence from inside with legislators who were willing to share information. And then they were able to use that to craft messaging to coordinate and communicate with average citizens in specific key districts around the state of Arizona, to ensure that they had a super majority to prevent the governor from doing exactly what your governor did, Matt. He attempted to call the legislature into a special session because he wasn't getting his way. Fortunately for the people in Arizona, because they learned the system, they were able to stave off the governor's, monarchical control of the people's house.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it. But he's still continuing to push it. We just got word 2 days ago that he was looking at implementing some radical environmental legislation via rule because the legislature wouldn't have the courage to do it. Yeah, I take it as a win that we stopped cabin trade in Washington.
Yes. You know, you guys are standing on the front lines of what I call the strategic maneuvers to lose the republic. And it's buried at multiple levels of government and primarily starting to degrade the boundaries between the states and the federal government. So you guys are at the front lines of combating that, and I applaud you, and many folks around the country who are paying attention applaud you as well.
Well, and again, it's been largely due, I mean, the Center for Self-Governance presence here in Washington as far as educating people how to fight has been so robust, and it's been the grassroots backing the legislators. I mean, 7 years ago, I was introducing much of the same legislation, And yet we weren't getting anywhere. But once the grassroots was organized, they were targeted, they understood when they needed to call, what they needed to do, boy, it started changing things massively. I mean, we've had the most successful slate of constitutional conservative bills in 30 years, 88 bills, 65 hearings, and that's because of the grassroots.
Well, you know, this is amazing to me, Matt. We have the greatest system or engine of government in the world, ever designed in world history, and the only one in its current existence. And even though the engine is sputtering right now, it is still a powerful engine because of the way it's designed. The average person can learn how, in very simple steps, with a little bit of coordination where they live, and they can seize control of one half of the engine of governance that was designed that way. It's not like this in North Korea. You know, people are shot for participating in government if they do it the wrong way, right? You fall asleep on the great leader and you're toast. In America, we have the right to participate in controlling our government, and there should be a symbiotic relationship between us as citizens and between you as representatives, and not just at the state level. We are supposed to enforce boundaries between jurisdictions of government, from school all the way through federal, to include the state government.
To include the state government, and I think that that's where we've had a lot more success. You know, at the national level, we've got some great fighters at the national level, but at the state level, we've actually had some tremendous success in pushing back against the federal government and pushing back, very candidly, against bureaucrats at the state level.
And that is absolutely what we're seeing a nationwide right now, and that is that as the and again, this goes back to how the system is designed, the most basic local level where you live, that is where you have the greatest amount of control and the opportunity to participate in your governance. And so the more you participate at the local level, the more capability you have of being very successful at the state level. And generally, the way it's designed is it's supposed to trickle to the federal government, not the other way around.
And I love that. It is not supposed to be the other way around. It's not supposed to be this top-down oligarchical system. It's supposed to be from the bottom up. And in many different respects, I think that was what was encapsulated at Bundy Ranch. People had finally had enough. You know, there's a great legal argument on Bundy's side, and people just said, you know, enough is enough.
Well, you know, it was an absolutely fascinating experience. I know you were there on April 12th last year. I happened to be there as well. My classes were canceled in Phoenix. It was Prescott, Arizona, level 2, but one of my students the night before said, hey, I'm going to this thing called the Bundy Ranch. Do you want to go? And I'm like, well, what's the Bundy Ranch? I've been so out of pocket with traveling and teaching. I just was out of the loop on it. Anyway, so I got to go and see it, and, you know, it was pretty amazing to watch people from what I know of at least 19 different states showing up, like you guys from Washington and Utah and California, Arizona, et cetera, even as far away as Delaware and Massachusetts, folks coming around from around the country. And it was a very fascinating experience and observation in how our system of government works. You know, in terms of right or wrong, whether the federal government was right or Bundy was wrong or vice versa, the bottom line is, when the people exercised their right to participate in their government and operate it correctly, then you could physically see one jurisdiction of government or one boundary of government called the federal back down. Now, you know, they had different reasons for why they backed down, but they had to back away or they had to choose to instigate something that would have been absolutely, I don't even know what the right adjective is on that one, Matt, but it would have been deadly and devastating to the country if they had gone that route. Either way, it ended up positively You saw people come together in oneness with each other. They were mutually pledged to each other, and they enforced the boundaries between the county and the federal. And when the county exercised their proper authority, the federal had to retreat. And fortunately, nobody died. Life, liberty, and property were restored. I mean, wow, what an amazing feat. But of course, you know, why would the national media cover that? But it is an absolute amazing thing to watch this system work properly.
It was really, and I really appreciated, too, the fact that people prayed for peace. There was just a very good spirit among everybody down there. But at the same time, a lot of courage that, you know, there was going to be nobody backing down. We were going to stand on that line, and we were going to uphold the Constitution of the United States. I mean, that to me was one of the most encouraging things I have seen in my entire life, watching
Absolutely.
All those great Americans do that.
It was the most nerve-wracking experience of my life because of some things I observed, and it seemed like the national government was in a defensive position, ready to use force if necessary. But amazingly, the divine providence was there, and mutual pledge to each other, all those kind of ingredients you saw with the founders and their experience and dealing with their king in England. You know, it's absolutely a phenomenon that nobody died, Matt, that there wasn't any sort of violence that took place. Now, I sat next to... You guys remember the show Criminal Minds? I think it is the BIU, the Behavioral Analysis Unit. Anyway, on that show, the director of that, I sat next to the director or the supervisor for the BAU of the FBI a couple months ago, and I was on my way, you know, over here in the West Coast, and he was on his way to Las Vegas. And he was, you know, asking me what I do, and I was talking to him. And I found out he was going to meet with the Clark County Sheriff to talk about two people that had come to the Bundy Ranch prior to the event that you saw on the news and that we experienced. And those people actually came to cause. They wanted to fight. They wanted to kill. And the Bundys actually made them leave. Are you familiar with that story, Matt?
I am very familiar with that story, and I'm very familiar not with just that story, but the whole process by which they would actually check people out showing up there so that the wrong type of people would not be there, the wrong spirit wouldn't be there.
And the BAU investigator who was on his way to, he was meeting with the Clark County Sheriff, he said these two people ended up not being at the Bundy Ranch, but they ended up going back to Las Vegas, and if everybody recalls, sometime shortly after, they went on a shooting spree and actually killed two Las Vegas police officers as a result. And so I thought to myself, you know, that is pretty impressive that the Bundys, how they were able to create that process to kind of keep that element out of this in order to preserve life like it, or, you know, to kind of come up with the outcome that they were hoping for.
I agree, and I think that's kind of the true American spirit, that you are willing to stand on the line, willing to defend your principles, willing to articulate principles to all your friends and neighbors, but willing to stand on that line with courage and say, you know what, government, you are wrong here, very clearly wrong, and we the people are saying no more. I love that, and if the folks everywhere across this country showed up. It doesn't matter if we're talking an issue like Agenda 21 at the local level and the implementation of Agenda 21, or are we talking about, you know, defending our Second Amendment rights. If we show up, and when we show up, government always has to back down. That's the Achilles heel of government. They have to back down when the people stand up. And if there's one lesson from this show today, I think that's it. And you observed it firsthand and actually talked to people and filmed a lot of that stuff down there.
Yes, I ended up filming the whole day. A lot of providence there. I happened to be at the right place at the right time throughout the whole day, and it paints a fairly good picture of what you just described in words, Matt. And that is when the people show up in our system of government, and we are exercising it according to the principles designed in the system, government has to back down. Now, this is not like Tiananmen Square, where the government does not have to back down, because they do not have the same system of government we do here in the United States. In North Korea, the government will not back down. Iran, government will not back down. Our system of government, the United States government, it will back down when the people exercise their control according to the principles built into the system.
One of the things that stood out to me with all of this that was happening is that everybody there and everybody I talked to afterwards seemed to understand that there was going to be more civil disobedience in our future. The more that the bureaucrats were acting like tyrants, were ignoring existing, you know, rulings, or just trying to go after people and fine people for a quota or seize parts of their property. Everybody was saying civil disobedience is going to explode in America. It's going to become a lot more commonplace. What are you hearing when you travel around the country and talk to folks? What's your thought on civil disobedience and actually the idea that we can prevent a lot of this if we get involved in the political process ahead of time?
Well, first, I'd like to say, you know, the Clive and Bundy situation did not have to end up where they were in a face-off with the federal government. There are so many strategies and tactics that are available to the American people to prevent that from happening. But in terms of the people who are controlling the reins of government right now or orchestrating the loss of the republic, it's a little bit over. What I'm hearing, Matt, is it's a little bit overwhelming for the average person because it's just hitting them from all sides, and so they're not really sure what they need to do. So you have some extreme sides where it's just lots of, you know, I'm just going to withdraw from the republic. It's already lost. I'm going to go, hole up in my bunker and accumulate all of the food and ammo and all these things.
Yeah.
Which we need to be prepared for those kind of things. But on the other hand, what that's doing is that's actually accelerating, This is perpetuating the ability of those who are losing the republic by withdrawing. So the other thing I'm hearing with regards to participation is a lot of folks now, right now, it seems like the messaging, like on Benghazi or Planned Parenthood, the ridiculous, the absurdity regarding all the land grabs in the western states and various other issues, vaccinations and things like that, are really starting to wake quite a few people up, and they are starting to band together and start to plan their own activism with regards to kind of reining in this out-of-control government. The other things I'm starting to see is, behind the scenes, there are folks like our students who are actually taking these various issues and using them as tools in order to ferret out the losers of the republic. So it's kind of like a battle match, if you will, between keepers and losers. And so I kind of see those three areas, Matt. The keepers are working on strategy and tactics behind the scenes to kind of ferret out these losers. You're seeing citizens who are starting to wake up, and they're starting to kind of rally around different issues and plan their strategy and tactics. And I'm seeing folks around the country who are kind of taking a withdrawal approach and kind of preparing for the what they consider to be the inevitable.
This is Matt Shea on Patriot Radio with my special guest, Mark Herr, with the Center for Self-Governance. Mark, I want to kind of take the next issue that is on everybody's minds and where there's been a lot of confrontation, and that's on the issue of property rights. I hear it everywhere, whether you're in Idaho or Washington, whether you're talking the Endangered Species Act or water rights. It seems like the loss of property rights has really galvanized people and brought people together. What's your take on the property rights issue? Where do you see it going in the future here for this country?
Matt, I'm seeing, you know, what you guys have been experiencing for years in the western states is now starting to deeply spread and embed itself in the eastern states. So common terms like conservation easements and waterways and so on and so forth are starting to make their way into the cultural flavor of the eastern states, kind of, I would say, east of the Mississippi. So folks are definitely starting to become aware of that out in the east. Also, because of your efforts with cows and other entities, folks are starting to become more and more aware of what exactly is happening in the western states. I want to share one story with you from Colorado that is just quite mind-numbing to me. And it has some kind of peculiar relationship with what we saw with the Bundys, what happened in Oregon and a few other places. So in Moffat County, Colorado, there's a huge underground shale field. And so the federal agencies that are involved out there have been working for a number of years to try to get property owners to sell their water rights. And there are two particular ranchers that have not sold their property rights, but it's ironic that these two neighboring ranchers, both of them for separate issues, have both had their properties raided in the last year and a half or 2 years by 30 to 40 federal agents at the same time, confiscating assets, taking things from their homes and so on and so forth, and basically putting their businesses in jeopardy and these kinds of things. But it centers around water rights and the ability to gain access to the minerals underneath the ground. Now, there's a similar story, Matt, in Prowers County, Colorado, which is the exact opposite corner. Totally different issue on the surface. It happens to do not with water rights, but with endangered sage grouse. Now, don't you guys have that kind of fun experience?
Yeah, we got the grouse in the center of the state that they try to use for everything. Yep, we got it.
So what they did was it's the largest coal plant and mining operation in Colorado, and they followed all the EPA rules. So everything you see coming out of the smokestacks are just water vapor. They have a coal mine that supports that, and then they were just recently, it's called the Wild Earth Guardians, just recently sued the Department of the Interior to enforce existing law. And so the Department of Interior sent notice to the coal mine that they had 120 days to comply with certain activities related to enforcing certain EPA rules and so on and so forth. And so that basically put 200 jobs at risk in a town of less than 3,000. So if you do the math, 200 employees, you're talking, what, maybe 600 people affected, plus all of the businesses, homes, schools, you name it. And they were just going to shut this thing down. But it's interesting, Matt, that underneath the ground is the largest natural gas field in Colorado. And this coal mining plant, the coal generating plant and the coal mining plant, they have put millions of dollars into following the EPA rules. They've put millions of dollars into restoring the sage grouse. They now have over 500,000 sage grouse. So they know that that's not the issue anymore. But it reminds me, Matt, kind of like the Palestinians in Israel. There's, in the Palestinians' mind, there's never going to be a two-state solution, right? It seems to me.
Absolutely not. I mean, they've been very clear on it on virtually all of their documents. And by the way, they always will publish something, and I served over there in Iraq. They will literally publish something in English and something completely different in Arabic for their own folks. And they've been very clear that there isn't going to be a two-state solution. It's they get enough weapons, they get enough people, they get enough force, and they'll take Israel out. They've been very clear about that.
And so it seems to me that same mindset is the mindset of, like, the Wildlife Guardians, which is a nonprofit organization headquartered in Phoenix, Arizona, with field offices in the state of Colorado. And their coordination with the Department of Interior to sue them, so the Department of Interior has cover to say, hey, we don't have a choice here. We're going to have to enforce this law. And so they shut down the mining operations. They kill the county. The people have to leave. The coal mine shuts down. And then who gets access to the trillions of gallons of natural gas underneath the ground in Prowers County?
Well, let me guess. Somebody's friend.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it sounds strange because when you look at the Bundy Ranch situation regarding property rights, correct? You know, the BLM is the organization in charge with managing land, and in cooperation with department agencies like, you know, the EPA and Forest Service and Park Service and other things like that. Why spend $23 million to round up 327 cows using hundreds of agents with snipers and 100-plus vehicles, aircraft, drone, helicopter, single-engine aircraft? The same thing happens in Moffat County, Colorado, with, you know, 30 to 40 agents and numerous vehicles, and you have the same kind of scenario developing in Prowers County. And the one thread I see through all of it, Matt, it's actually two threads. One is they're using government to moderate the people's behavior to gain access to what's underneath the ground or to gain usage of the ground. Number two is how disconnected the American people are from each other as they're going through this, because what am I supposed to do? I'm on my property in the middle of nowhere and 40 agents show up, and I don't have any connections with my fellow citizens like the Bundys did. You have a compare and contrast in where the solution lies.
Well, I find it interesting that you'll have one of two things happen. Either absolutely no one will have access to it, which we have in a lot of Washington State with the Wildlands Project, the Y2Y, Yellowstone to Yukon Project, to shut down that big swath of land from literally the Yukon to Yellowstone Park with Spokane right dead center of it. Or you'll have what happened down in Nevada and some other places too, where, you know, shut access down to it, and then later on, when everybody's kind of forgot about it, everybody's kind of got calm about it, then suddenly somebody else, and usually one of their friends, has access to it for, you know, a solar panel farm or wind farms or something like that. And guess who they end up giving money to? You know, that is what I've seen happen in many different cases. And it's just, it's seizing property from one person and giving it to another using the force of government. I mean, simple as that to me.
Well, and it violates the entire public use eminent domain concept, where instead of making progress in the world governance, we're now regressing pre-1776, you know, into the kind of Kingdom of England where you have King John and Sheriff of Nottingham, Robin Hood kind of scenario, right? So here we are in 2015, and I'm starting to see, you know, where, you know, foreign entities are having major stakeholdership in property seized or I would say rights seized through harassment. I don't know how you describe it, harassment, or using the force of law through those enforcers who have to show up and carry out these acts because their job is to enforce the law. So that really pits the average American against people who have been hired by government to enforce these out-of-control laws. And I think that's an unfortunate circumstance, but I think the American people are going to have to recognize that, one of their strategies is going to have to be to start, developing the proper relationships with people who have been given the authority to enforce these rules and interface with them directly face-to-face.
It does put especially folks who take their oaths of office seriously, who serve in the government because they want to protect and defend the Constitution, protect and defend God-given unalienable rights to life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same, puts them in a really awkward spot. And it's interesting, during the Bundy Ranch thing, we had a lot of people inside government contacting us, giving us information because they didn't agree with what was going on. That really encouraged me that, you know, there, it doesn't matter if somebody's a bureaucrat, they can also still be a patriot and still believe in the rule of law and do their little part to uphold it, even though they're kind of under the gun and between a rock and a hard place in the position they're in.
You know, and this is a really important mindset that the American people, they have to go through a paradigm shift. When they look at government, they think of the people in government as kind of like robots. But really, they're human beings, and they've been delegated our authority to control our power. And so when an average person goes through our training program, our goal is to help them in level one have a paradigm shift regarding the matter of government and separating that from the people who go into government to exercise the control of that power, like you, for example, being given one fraction of the control of the House of the state of Washington. One fraction of the total of the body politic of the House to control legislative power. You haven't been given all of the control. You've been given a fraction of that control. Same with the governor of Washington. He's been given one-third, and technically, what is it, one-fifth or one-seventh in terms of executive control. And so, anyway, our objective is to help people have that paradigm shift. These are human beings who are going into government, building relationships with human beings, or being separated from human beings, kind of like the way it is right now regarding Cecil the Lion and the babies that are being, you know, sold for body parts. The disconnect in the American mind, the care for Cecil the Cat, and the lack of concern for the baby scraps. It is mind-boggling. But it's a paradigm shift that the American people have to experience, Matt, in order to save the country.
Now, I wholeheartedly support Level 1 training, Center for Self-Governance. I support all of it. But that's why everybody listening right now to this show should go through your Level 1 training. So if people want to get more information on how to do that and connect up with you, where can they go to do that? And how best do you think that they can make that connection and be involved? Because this is so critical to get the skill set trained, and then get people into the fight and involved.
Yes. So if they want more information about our training program, they can go to centerforselfgovernance.com, centerforselfgovernance.com. And there's it's pretty self-explanatory. If you're looking for classes or specific state, you can just type that in and press register for classes. Like I'm looking at the schedule in Washington right now. In the third week of August, we have three level ones scheduled in Tacoma, Spokane, and another area of Washington that's to be determined. So August 22nd in Tacoma, August 22nd in Spokane, and August 23rd in a to-be-determined location. But if they want to set up a class, there's a host button on the front page. You just say host and tell them what you want. You can read through, and it'll tell you about all five levels of our training. It's a progressive training program. We take you from a paradigm shift in level one to how the engine was designed by the founders in level two. And level three, four, and five, we teach you the art of political warfare on the battlefield for the meaning of words. So you learn how to build strategy and tactics. You gain teammates. You understand political subdivisions. And you know understand how do I operate within that arena on a daily basis. Become successful at controlling my instituted government, kind of reining this out of balance government right now.
And that's exactly what we're going to have to do, and it's going to have to start from the ground up. No question about it. Any final thoughts here in the last minute we've got left?
Our great republic is phenomenon. It is built with lots of components over history. The founders obviously aren't here with us anymore, but they left us, we have inherited, and they have left us an amazingly brilliant system of government. What's added to that system is something called self-governance. It doesn't come naturally. It's not innate. Thomas Jefferson said it's the result of habit and long training. So I encourage you, please find out about what we do with Center for Self-Governance. Become engaged. Learn how to control your instituted government. The founders designed it specifically. It has to be maintained specifically, and it cannot be operated by President Obama. All he can do is destroy it. All we can do is save it.
Wow. Not much more you can say after that. Mark Kerr, Center for Self-Governance, thank you very much for being on Patriot Radio. We'll have you on again appreciate all the work you're doing in the fight for freedom and liberty. You know, it's encouraging to me, but I know everybody that heard it today was encouraged as well. Thank you again, my friend.
Hey, Matt, and thank you, too, for all your service to the United States, the state of Washington, and stand with all the great people of the state of Washington. Keep the Republic.
Keep the Republic. God bless you. And thanks for actually moving up here to free Washington as well. See, we've got all these great people coming up here.
It is a beautiful state and beautiful people. I'm looking forward to joining with you guys in the fight for liberty.
Amen. Well, take care. God bless.
God bless. Bye.
Everybody listening today, if you haven't gone to Patriot Radio's Facebook page, go to the Facebook page. It just posted Center for Self-Governance up there. You can get a hold of Mark. Make sure, if you don't have a training in your community, but you can get together 25, 30 people and do a training, he'll come to you. I know he will. He's done it many times before. Help out and just make contact with him. Start a training in your area. When I say this is training, I mean this literally is detailed, specific training on how to fight politically. But first he starts with the basic foundations. But this how to fight stuff on the political front has revolutionized everything we're doing here in Washington State with the Freedom Agenda. It has revolutionized this part of the country, and that's one of the reasons we're winning, because we're doing it with a coordinated strategy. We're doing it with coordinated resources. We're doing it with a coordinated message, and it's really effective. And the great part about this is, if you do it right, it opens up conversations with people you never would think would agree with you on an issue. And that's one of the reasons we had over 70 Democrat co-sponsors on our Freedom Agenda bills this year, because we could build those relationships and build those coalitions around issues of principle, not compromise, but figure out and learn who actually believes like you do and bring people together instead of to allow what is going on in Washington, D.C. And that is a consistent, intentional agenda of division. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Remember to pray for a revival of repentance. We still live in the greatest country in the world, despite the internal evil we're facing. This is Matt Chamber. Remember to do everything you can to defend freedom locally. God bless you all.